Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. And check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. For any questions, show updates, or if you would like to be a guest, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have such an incredible show planned. On the line, I have Erica Walker. For entrepreneurs, executives, and professionals, Erica Walker brings a wealth of experience to her clients. As president and CEO of the Walker Thomas Group, she has earned a stellar reputation for engaging public speaking, experiential facilitation, meaningful coaching, and practical consulting. Erica also has an in-depth understanding of inclusive intelligence and a passion for addressing women's issues in both business and society. Eric is a native Chicagoan and has extensively studied the fields of metaphysics and neuroscience since childhood. Additionally, she has over 22 years of professional experience providing business and human resource consulting to a variety of small businesses, Fortune 500 companies, colleges, and universities. She's also a professor at LATAM Business School and the creator of various tools to close the gender gap for women and reconnect them with their personal author, with their personal power. Also, she's an author of her book, A Woman's Vault, Unlocking the Seven Secrets to a Remarkable Life. Erica, welcome to Insight into Healing. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me.
It has been just such an incredible pleasure reading your bio and finding more and more about you. Tell us, how did you get started? What was your motivation?
You know, it's funny when I get asked that question because I have really been writing this book my entire life. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but even as a really young child, I felt like I was making connections about how people related to one another. And particularly with women, I felt like I was able to see potential and, more importantly, power in them that maybe they didn't see for themselves. And so as I would try to articulate this as a young person, of course, they were thinking, you are a child, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand adult life. And, you know, I probably didn't, but there was some sort of intuitive thing within me that always knew that they had a certain amount of power. So I say all that to say, from a young age, I've been collecting different ideas and thoughts and energy and how to use that. And now just this is the time. It feels like a collective thing from childhood to you know, through adolescence, through being in a corporate environment, and just really listening to stories, experiencing them myself, and collecting truth that I think is now in the book.
Yes. And I think that's just so incredible, just to speak on the point that as a child, as growing up, and through a person's life, the lessons we learn, the things that we go through, really shapes our lives, but also can be tools and education that we can give back to others of what we've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's funny, we all get through things. If not, we wouldn't be here, right? So if you're still here, then you've gotten through it. But I started to make some observations about how to not just get through things, but how do you really thrive afterwards, right? So to your point, how do you take these learnings, apply them for the future, and share them with other people? And I have to say, one of my greatest passions and the thing I have always wanted more than any material thing in life is to be able to impact women around the world in a way that allows them to live a more remarkable life, whatever that means to them. I've always wanted that.
Yes. And what would you say, because I find this many times I encounter it in my private practice, a lot of people who are surviving and not thriving, mm-hmm. and if someone hasn't been exposed that that's even a possibility to thrive, to actually enjoy life, it's hard to explain that to them, to also instill that encouragement.
It is. It is sometimes. But I'll tell you, in my own coaching practice, and even, you know, I do a lot of corporate public speaking and training, and it's interesting. I'll do the training, and I'll be in the ladies' room afterwards, and inevitably, a woman will come in and just start bawling, right? Just crying over something that's going on in her life. And so, you know, you say, well, what, how do you get people who've never heard of it, you know, to really believe? But there is something about when you hear truth, you recognize it when you hear it. And so sometimes, even if I'm talking about a corporate topic, I might integrate something on metaphysics or something on personal power for women, something extra, if you will. And I feel like women are resonating with it, and not only are they resonating with that, but they trust me, and so I think that's why we end up in the bathroom crying, you know, about whatever it is. But something I think that the heart knows, and so they hear it and it clicks, and I think it's sort of a start on a new journey for them.
Yes. And I like how you name it a personal truth, a truth. And I think when people hear something, it might be not be their exact situation, but something that they can relate to or something that triggers their core. And I think everybody has such an important story to tell. They have such an important, you know, growing and all of that, that I think it's encouraging no matter what a circumstance is that there's still growth.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I am with you 100%.
Yes. So when you do speaking engagements, what do you find that your audience is asking for? What are their questions? What are their struggles?
You know, it really depends. So I still have a good amount of corporate clients, and so they're interested in some corporate things. They're interested in more diversity and inclusion, which I call inclusive intelligence. So they're trying to figure out, I believe they're trying to marry their business results with real life, bringing their whole selves to work. So, yeah, we've got these, you know, bottom line goals that we've got to get to, but how do we start to embrace and accept people for who they are? And that's the same challenge we're experiencing in life, right, in our society. How do we, day-to-day, with our neighbors at the grocery store, the whatever, our president, how do we accept people for who they are, and how do we coexist? How do we leverage those differences so that we can have greater results, you know, period? And I don't just mean business results, but just, you know, a better place to live and work for everyone. So I think a lot of clients are asking for that. And then on the flip side, if I'm doing work specifically for women outside of a corporate environment, I think women are largely asking, how do I thrive? There are, you know, a group of women who are making a good living, whatever they're doing, or they stay at home and they've got a great life, children or not, whatever it is. There are a lot of women that are still aching for something more. And they're asking first, is it okay to ask for it? Because, gosh, I have it pretty good. Why am I even asking or complaining? And then once they figure out it is okay, then the question is, well, how do I find it? What's missing? You know, so I get a lot of women in that space. And then I think there's probably a third category of women who are in transition. And so that could be transition from married to divorced or from heterosexual to lesbian. It could be transition from corporate environment to an entrepreneur. But it's just a transition, and how do I do it, and how do I walk through the fear anyway? So I think those are probably the three most common areas.
And I think they bring up such universal topics. One, I think about corporation getting into humanistic views of who the employee is. Yes, we go to work, we're professionals, but also the corporation being able to acknowledge and embrace an individual. And I think the transitions that go back and forth, whatever stage of life you are, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and also, when does a person believe, too, that they can thrive or that they do have access to it?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm a Generation Xer, and so I'm in the generation of, you know, for most of my career, I've been sort of taught, you know, first do your job and do it well, and but simultaneously you should be happy. So I always had both of those messages, right? The message of you got to put your time in, but also you got to get something out of it besides the gold watch and a paycheck. So always in my orientation, it's been thriving should be a part of life. I would say that maybe the baby boomer generation didn't always get that message. Their message was find a good job, stay at that job. The company doesn't really owe you anything. But then as they've gotten to a certain age, they've started to say, hey, but I'd like to thrive more outside of just the financial piece, you know? But I find younger generations, they're just saying, hey, I should be thriving anyway. Isn't that what life's all about? So they're teaching all of us, and it's fantastic. It's doing a lot for the world.
And I am a strong believer that the quality of a person's quality of life has to be at a certain level of peace, of enjoyment, of feeling that you're moving forward to a goal, no matter in what stage of life you are. What motivated you to write this book? How did it start?
I honestly, it's been rolling in my head for so many years. It's hard to even pin down a date. But about a year ago, I engaged with a fantastic publishing partner at NetWorlding, is the name of the company. And we just had one conversation. The woman that I work with is Melissa G. Wilson. And we had one conversation, and she was so inspirational that it was just done. It was what was so fascinating, I have to tell you. So I live in Chicago. So she has her office in one of these very tall, fancy, high-rise buildings. And so I get to her office, and I've met her some years before, by the way, in a writing class, my one and only writing class many years ago, and I was working on something that she was really excited about. And I said, yeah, that's interesting. I'll get back to it. Anyway, reconnected with her, went to her office, and thinking it's going to be sort of conservative and stuffy. And I tell you, she was so warm. She used words like, just like we're talking now, she talked about thriving. She talked about my own personal power. She talked about metaphysics. She talked about claiming what I wanted. She talked about feeling good vibes and vibration with me. And I thought, oh, this is the most interesting business conversation I've ever had. You know what I mean? Because usually business conversations are go in a particular direction with particular linear words and processes. But we just had a conversation where we felt one another. And she was inspired by my story. I was inspired by her and how she does business. And so the journey really began just about a year ago. And I wasn't really struggling for content because, as I mentioned, I had been collecting stories and information and guidance and all of that kind of stuff for so long. It was just time for it to come out. I really just wanted to ignite it in other people.
For your reader, is there one message or a group of messages you would like for them to walk away from your book with a mantra or a motto, something to help them?
Wow. Let's see. Well, I think the overarching message that I want people to walk away with is that anything is possible. So you'll see within the book that I say in multiple ways that you can be, do, and have anything that you'd like. And I know that's hard for some to believe. You know, depending on your circumstances, you're thinking, well, I've had this diagnosis. It's not really possible for me to have anything beyond that. Or, you know, I have this amount of money and it's just not possible for me to own a business. But, or, you know, I've had this kind of luck with relationships, so I don't think I'm ever going to have one. And I'm just here to say, and the whole purpose of the book is to say it is possible. And if you can walk away with hope, and then with some tangible things that you can do towards whatever it is that you're hoping for, then I think you will be on a great journey from that point.
I agree with you 100%. I definitely share the same ideas, the same train of thought, and I think it's so incredible to be able to provide that to somebody else and encourage them, because there's so many out there who don't have that hope or that belief anything is possible. If you really want something, you can do it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, maybe sometimes that's a little, you know, too positive. It's not, you know, that's not what really life is about. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard
Correct.
Work. There's, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. There's heartaches. There's struggles. There's disappointments. But it's showing up and working towards it.
Yes, and I think that's such a good point, because sometimes people will hear me speak or, you know, even just anecdotally, and they walk away with the impression that you can just sit down and do nothing and everything will come to you. And by the way, sometimes that does happen, but you do have to take action, right? You do have to take action. But when you do, and what I like to call it inspired action, and I follow a law of attraction guru, I guess you could call her, Esther Hicks, and I think she uses that term as well, inspired action. But when you take action along with this belief system and this understanding, quite frankly, of how things get manifested, then you're really, really on your way. You're definitely on your way. But I have a story to share. Do you have a second for it? Of a time
sure,
where I manifested
I'd love to hear
something.
It.
So, yeah. And this is one of the times where things kind of showed up. But I, before I got into this line of work, right out of undergrad, I was in hotel management. I did that for a few years, and then I decided to go back to school for a master's degree. I was in Washington, D.C. I went to undergrad at Howard University. So I was going back there for a master's, and I was working part-time as a mortgage lender, a mortgage broker, or in a mortgage broker's office. So didn't know anything about mortgages, but, you know, it's just side money. Well, this is a time period where where interest rates were really low. So we were really busy. So after my first semester in school, I stopped of grad school. I stopped going to school there and started doing this mortgage business full time. And the gentleman that I worked for had me and another guy that I had also gone to college with open these different offices for him because it was just that lucrative. Okay. So we're working, and then all of a sudden our paychecks started to bounce they started to bounce. They wouldn't clear. And so the two of us, we didn't really, it was a lot of people who worked there, but we were the managers, right? And so we didn't understand why they were bouncing. So every story that he told us, we believed it, because our orientation to this point was with a large corporation, and they seemed to always have money. So we thought all companies had money, naively. Okay, so we finally figured out this guy had some things going on. He was eventually investigated by the FBI, blah, blah, blah. But we decided, since we have done this for this gentleman, we can do it for ourselves, right? So we opened up our own mortgage company. We're making tons of money, and it's fantastic. We bought some land. We were developing townhomes. It was fantastic. And then maybe 2 years later, we lost it all. Everything, I mean, like, I don't have a place to live. I'm not eating. It's really, really bad. And I'm still living in D.C. My parents and family are in Chicago. So one day I'm at home, and by the way, I'm in a friend's home, and that home was on the market, and my friend talked his friend into allowing me to live there for $300 a month, huge home, until he sold the home. So this, I'm in a really bad situation, but I'm stubborn and I don't want to go home. So I have no money, I have a dog, I'm in the house, I'm hungry. So I decided to put to use what I know about manifesting. And I got up, I showered, I got dressed, I put makeup on, I did my hair, I sat on the bed. And then I started to think about eating steak because it's my favorite. And so I started thinking about the kind of ribeye steak, bone-in ribeye, that I wanted and how good it tastes. And I was feeling the texture of it, and I was chewing it, and I was laughing because I was having great conversation with I don't know who. And I was just enjoying the entire process, and I was feeling what it felt like to be full and to smell the smells, the whole nine. And then, and by the way, it cheered me up for a minute because it actually felt good in the moment because I really put myself there. I didn't visualize it. I put myself there. So I was actually watching my own fingers cut the steak the way that I cut my steak. So I did that for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, and then I just sat and I just waited. And about 25 minutes or so later, a gentleman that I know that I had done some business with, who knows my financial situation at this point, said he didn't have a car. And he said, listen, if you will come over and pick me up, take me to the grocery store and buy me dinner, I will buy you groceries. Great. Sounds like a deal. So I go over, no brainer, I'm already ready. I go, I take him to the store. Luckily, I still had a running BMW at the time, so yay. I take him to the store. He buys me groceries for about a month. Yay. It was his choice for dinner, obviously, because this was all on him. He selected what? Steak. Broccoli, wow. Baked potato, all of my favorites. So we came back to my house. I cooked the dinner. We enjoyed it, and I took him home. So for me, that's one of many, many, many stories that I have in terms of manifesting in an environment where it looks impossible, where I have no cash flow coming in, where I've already tapped my friends, so I'm not asking for anything else. I am literally hungry. I have no idea, and it shows up that way. So that's just one of my manifestation stories.
And I think that's so powerful because it really speaks the truth to my listeners, to people that have gone through things, who are discouraged not to give up. And unfortunately, sometimes it could take 5 months, 10 years. You know, we don't know.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's showing up. And don't give up on your dream. And I think it's envisioning. It's putting yourself there and feeling it and being able to open up yourself to be open to that and know that you deserve it. It's a human right. You deserve
absolutely
to have peace and happiness and to have a passion about you, whatever is your passion.
Mhm. You're right. And I'm glad you said it could be instant or it could be 10 years. And because I've had that experience too, where it wasn't that instant, but I tell you, if you just take the step, right, you'll see the next step is right there. Just take one step and you'll see something else show up to support the direction in which you're going in. And I love this gentleman by the name of Neville Goddard, who really focuses on, excuse me, feeling it real. So not just visualizing, and it's nothing wrong with that. But if I want a new car, I don't necessarily visualize the car over there, because if I really own the car, what I should really be seeing is me sitting in the driver's seat. I should be seeing my steering wheel and the dashboard and the panel, you know, in the middle that has the radio and the heat and all of that kind of stuff. And I should be seeing perhaps the lights reflecting off of the garage if I have one, right, at night, because that's what I would actually see if I had that car, right? I would be seeing that. I'd see the emblem. If you want a Mercedes, I'd see that peace sign emblem in the middle of my steering wheel. If I want a Honda, I'd see that H in the middle. And that really helps you along, because, you know, everything is energy and everything is responding to your vibration, and the vibration out here, like attracts like, and so it doesn't know that you are feeling it real or not. It just responds to you. So you gotta really learn to get in the habit of feeling it. And guess what? It doesn't cost you anything. That's what's so great. You could do this all day long and it costs you absolutely nothing. Actually, but joy. It'll give you lots of joy to actually experience the things you want.
Yes. And I think when you open yourself up to believing you can do these things are something you want to work towards to some degree, it just opens doors. I think it just creates an environment where you encourage all these different doors to open. And I think, you know, one step after another, you start seeing it fall into place, and it's like, wow, okay, I'm on a good path. I'm in the right direction, because now doors are just opening.
Yep. I tell you, so many stories, personal stories and stories of friends of mine where doors just open, but it's because they took the step. And it doesn't mean you stop being fearful, by the way. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't get rid of the fear. Okay, maybe you can't, but that's all right. You can still walk through it anyway. You can have fear and still move forward. And that's the key. There have been many times when I've been afraid of things, but I just moved forward anyway. And somehow the universe caught me and guided me the rest of the way.
And I think you don't have to be 100% confident. You don't have to have all your ducks in the row and all these things.
No.
You could be fearful. You could be doubtful. You could be sad. Don't discourage yourself and don't judge yourself. Keep going for what you want.
Absolutely. And I would say, if you're feeling discouraged, though, find anything, and I mean anything, that can bring you just even a little bit of joy. So usually if we're discouraged probably because of a particular situation, and then we dwell on that, and we're probably not so clear about how our brain works, but, you know, dwelling on that is going to create, you know, neural pathways where you continue, then it becomes automatic, really, quite frankly. It just, you think about it all the time. You go to bed, you wake up, it's the first thing you think about. I mean, I've been there, done that. And so the key is not, let me stop thinking about that. The key is, what else can I think about that could bring me some joy? And if you start, just like you make the habit of thinking about something that's not so great, you can form a new habit by just little by little thinking about something that is good. So for me, what always works is I am just completely in love with my dog. And I, before this one, I had another one I'm completely in love with. So no matter what,
I
have never had a time that if you don't pet that dog or kiss the dog, that you don't feel better. So pet the dog,
yes,
or the cat.
They're the best,
yeah,
in the world. We have about a minute left. How can my listeners follow you? Any way they can contact you and see what you're doing?
Absolutely. So facebook.com/Erica Walker, and that's E-R-I-K-A Walker. That's Facebook. And then on Twitter, it's Erica W. Thomas. And then if you want to go to my website and learn more about the book and speaking engagements, it's simply theericawalker.com. So that's TheErikaWalker.com, theericawalker.com.
Thank you.
And that's it.
And again,
it.
Erica, thank so much for being on the show. It's been so incredible. And I just want to thank all my listeners for tuning in. And if you have any questions, please send them to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.